It is Sunday morning, and we are protecting military families on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk, with the one and only Chris Brochu. We will get into that in just a second, but real quick, shout out to everyone that donated and helped us with Carathon. Another great job by Rich Jones here. You know him in the mornings right here doing the news on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Raised a lot of money for the Child Cancer Fund. We appreciate you. If you donated, I know Rich appreciates it. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for listening. And now thank you for listening to Protecting Military Families with Chris Brochu. Chris, how are we doing this morning?
Casey, good morning. Doing well.
Glad to see you on another Sunday morning. Let's get into it. We're going to talk Camp Lejeune today, but first we're going to, as we do, let the people know about what you guys do at Brochu Law and your second opinion. Chris, make sure I got this right. Correct me if I'm wrong. If anybody needs a second opinion, military family, on something that they just want you to take another look at, they can reach out to you. Your second opinion is free. No fee unless you win, obviously. But you will look at their case for free, give them a second opinion, and see if you can maybe find them benefits that they didn't know they were missing out on.
Exactly, Casey. And just to kind of round up around that, what we do is military family, consumer, you know, injured person gives us a call. If, you know, a VSO, the VA, somebody's told this military family, hey, this is all you're entitled to, or, you know, you don't have anything under the law, feel free to give us a call. Our consultation is always free. We're happy to look into it for you. If we do recognize or find something that maybe you could file an additional appeal, let's say it's a VA disability appeal, right? We'll use that as an example. Say you're currently at 10%. You think that you may be entitled to more, but the VA or your VSO or whoever tells you that's all you're entitled to, give us a call. Happy to take a look. If there's something that we can do, we're going to let you know. At that point in time, we would decide if we want to enter into a fee agreement together. If we do enter into a fee agreement together, everything we do is on a contingency fee basis. So, you know, Camp Lejeune, Military Lending Act cases, SGLI, VGLI, TSGLI, VA disability, any of the injury cases or consumer cases, all contingent fee. And basically the easiest way to explain it, no money up front. There's no fee unless you win, and our firm will advance all costs on behalf of our military families and consumers.
Absolutely. So if you need that assistance, you want Chris and his firm to take a second look, a second opinion, 904-201-1771, or send him an email, case@brochulaw.com. We talked today about Camp Lejeune because the bill has officially been signed. We'll get into that in a second. We've talked a lot about Camp Lejeune, though. Go back and find that audio and that video as well on Chris's website, brochulaw.com, his YouTube, Brochu Law, Justin at Nova Productions hooking us up every week with a video version of the show. No doubt the best in the business. So go back and find that information if you want an entire multiple hour overview of Camp Lejeune. Today, though, we talk more about it because, as I mentioned, the president, Joe Biden, has signed this bill into law, correct?
Yes, on Wednesday of this last week, it was signed into law, and if you heard my episode a couple weeks ago, I was absolutely roasting some of our senators that had initially agreed, and
it was a roast.
sort of walked back what they said. Well, thank you to all of our senators that got it done, and that is the reason that it was sent to the president's desk, and the president signed it into law, which means 2 years from Wednesday or 2 years from the 10th is the statute of limitations based on the law. So that means if you are a, you know, military family, consumer, civilian, veteran, ex-spouse, you know, current spouse, your loved one passed away due to Camp Lejeune toxic water exposure, you're a child, you had miscarriages related to it, you know, and child could be stepchild, half-child, anybody that was drinking water at Camp Lejeune for a period of 30 combined days would now have the ability to sue, and the time is starting to tick. Before you can ever file a lawsuit, we're going to get into this, you have to file an administrative claim. We're going to talk through that process. But now that that bill is created and military families have the right to file a Camp Lejeune claim, it is imperative, if you think that your family has a claim, you've got to reach out to an attorney and see about your legal rights, because time is always of the essence, but particularly when a statute of limitations is, 2 years away.
Yeah. And you like you mentioned, it 2 years from the 10th. So that's August 10th of 24, which sounds like a long time away. And it is in the grand scheme of things, but it's also not, because you only have 2 years for something that should have been taken care of a long time before now. But now the clock is ticking, to Chris's point, and he is one of the attorneys that can help you with that. We'll talk about that as we go along. But Chris, for the people that haven't heard the other episodes and everything, why is this such a big deal that now the bill is passed, it is a law, the statute of limitations, why is this whole thing such a big deal?
The first thing that I want to say before we get into why this law is so important and what protections it provides and illnesses are connected. The biggest thing is that we want to make sure that military families and anybody that may fall into a Camp Lejeune claim understands that in order to support a claim for Camp Lejeune, what you have to do is provide all of the background information, the death certificate if the individual passed away, medical records if available. We've got to do all of that pre-suit. That takes time, coming up with all of that. Then we draft the administrative claim. Once we file the administrative claim with the Department of the Navy in this particular case, they get 6 months, right? 6 months. So you think even if it takes conservatively 30 to 90 days to do all the pre-suit stuff, in some cases longer, right? If we've got a FOIA documents and stuff like that, we're already looking at almost 9 months before we can ever file a lawsuit, because the government would get 6 months after we file the administrative claim. So that's why 2 years seems like a long time, but it's really, quite short when we get into it. And to your question, Casey, I just wanted to explain that. To your question, the reason why this is so important is because for decades, military families, civilian families, and their children that were drinking water there as children, toddlers, infants that were still in, well, not infants in utero, but basically children that were there or infants that were there. 30 days is what the government has agreed the exposure has to be for someone to have a claim combined. So not 30 consecutive. And these families for decades that have several family members with these terrible, terrible medical conditions, cancers and, neurological disorders and birth defects. None of this is genetic to most of these families, right?
Right.
Cardiac conditions. And all of these are occurring at an extremely young age, right? I mean, cardiac conditions from infancy or, people having multiple back surgeries by the time they turn 40, but they're not related to a traumatic event, right? This person may not have even been in the military, right? Mm-hmm. These families with the Camp Lejeune, obviously honoring our PACT Act, but the Camp Lejeune Justice Act, that portion of the bill, are finally going to get their day in front of the U.S. government. And obviously, if the government denies it or doesn't respond, they'll finally get their day in court. And importantly, they finally have answers, because up until now, from 53 to 87, the government has recognized that it was negligent in the handling of basically jet fuel. There was, a dry cleaning facility that was dumping toxins into, a nearby water source. All of these different things that contributed to the contaminants and then weren't cleaned up, right? So after the government realized that there was an issue, they still went years before they actually did anything about it, even after they had a private party investigate it. So it's finally going to provide some justice. It does not make up for the fact that these families have these medical conditions, and it never will, but it at least is a start to providing some sort of semblance of justice for those families.
Absolutely. 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk. You listed some of the injuries there. Injuries as well as some of the diseases and whatnot that have come from it. We'll continue to list those. But you mentioned the years there again. Just give them to me again, just so people that this information's everywhere. Like, Chris, you were way out ahead of it in terms of things that I didn't even understand about it. And, months ago, you're like, hey, this is going to be a thing. So we've been talking about it. But now all this information is everywhere. So there might be people that are hearing this for the first time. So just kind of to recap what you were just saying, there's about a 35-year window at Camp Lejeune that you were talking about, that if you drank the water, if you bathed in the water, anything to do with water, which, by the way, we all use every day.
Sure, cooking.
Cooking. So if you were involved in that on Camp Lejeune in the window that Chris will give you in just a second, you could be eligible to receive compensation and a lot of it. Those years, again, were
1953 to 1987. And again, you could have been in utero, right? Mm-hmm. If your parents were stationed at Camp Lejeune, living on base, and you're even a child in utero, you're living there, you're born at, I've got several clients that were born at Camp Lejeune at the local hospital. Camp Lejeune is a massive military installation, right? Like, we're not talking about a base with a couple thousand people. We're talking about, at one point in time, and again, this isn't from me, folks. Like, I understand, as a civilian, I would never even come close to understanding this. So please forgive me, for not having the, personal knowledge, but I also wasn't there between 53 and 87. So I'm taking this from the clients that I help. But Parris Island is your first stop boot camp in the Marine Corps. Well, your next step in most of my clients' cases was they were learning their job or doing their first sort of duties at Camp Lejeune. Some of them might have only been there for 60 days or 90 days, and others were there for years. But that is sort of why we have so many. I mean, the government has recognized conservatively a million Americans, again, in those categories, veterans, civilians, that served their families that were stationed there. Extreme amount of people. I mean, there's no way that one attorney, one law firm could ever handle it. My concern is, and this has always been kind of my concern, is that, I represent military families in a ton of different states for a ton of different, variety of legal reasons and benefits, right? VA disability and SGLI and VGLI and now Camp Lejeune, TSGLI as well, Military Lending Act. I was representing them before Camp Lejeune. I'll be representing military families after Camp Lejeune. The misinformation out there regarding Camp Lejeune is really what I'm trying to combat against, because I'll get clients that say, hey, Camp Lejeune's a class action. No, I don't think it is. And again, that's not the client's fault, right? Whoever is pumping this information out there, these marketing companies, I don't know where they're getting their information from, but it's not, from what I've read under this new law. So I just want to clear up some of that. The other thing is, I've got some clients that have called me, they've had to advance money to file some of these claims. I don't know of any attorney that does VA disability related to appeals or any of these Camp Lejeune claims that would make a military family advance money. That is a huge red flag, red flag, red flag. We talk about that. Call another attorney, get a second opinion. You should not have to advance any money for any of these claims, at least in my opinion. So if somebody is trying to, strong arm you into doing that, please call for a second opinion to some attorney.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I was telling you about this before we started the show, and I've had three or four different instances, Chris, where in my email, now granted, I know the phones are listening to us, right? That's a whole different topic. But so, like, I'm getting things in my email that are, like, literally brochures. I almost said brochures. Brochures. Now I can't even say it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting
yeah.
emails
solicitation.
Of solicitation.
From some rando.
Exactly. On Camp Lejeune. I'm also hearing radio ads, not here, but national radio ads that are just the buzzwords that, like, we're saying. Camp Lejeune, call this number. Boom, boom, and then the ad's over, and then it's back on in 20 minutes. So all this stuff that even I'm getting, I know the people that the military families and the people that are actually supposed to be getting it are seeing this information. If you get one of these emails, if you hear one of these radio ads nationally, what should these people be doing? Like, should they be going through with those? Should they be calling somebody like you? Like, what's the move here when you see this mass produced email about Camp Lejeune?
Well, the first thing I would look at is who has created this communication. Right. So if it's not a law firm, yeah, sorry to say it, folks, I'm not going to sign up with some media company and have my, have my case or claim in their hands to figure out who they're going to sell it to. That's just not. And again, I think the easiest way to figure that out it's these canned responses, right? I mean, we've broken down in how many videos what sorts of things apply under Camp Lejeune. Get them to do that, right? That's the first step. The second question I would ask any of these law firms, how many of them are accredited with a VA? Because if they're not accredited with a VA, you're going to have a different type of experience, because with my VA accreditation and any attorney that is accredited with a VA, what they're going to do is they're going to be able to sign what's called a 2122A. Now, that goes to the VA, because most likely none of the active service members in 87, I don't think, I mean, unless they're super, you know, high up in the military, majority of them are now veterans, right? They're no longer active duty, which means they would, their service records and their DD-214 and, you know, all of their medical history, it's all with the VA. And you submit a 2122A, the VA is going to send that to us, so long as, you know, there are some instances we still have to FOIA it, Freedom of Information Act request. But as a VA accredited attorney, we've got the clearance. People like myself have the ability through my attorney accreditation, it's similar to a clearance, it's not like what the military gets, but to get access to that client's file, and I can start reviewing those records. And the trouble with these cases, if it's a civilian treatment facility, they keep records for 7 years, 10 years. I mean, we've got clients we're screening that passed away in the 80s, 90s. I've got a wrongful death case from the late 50s that we're working up. I mean, the records just aren't available. So if you don't have a VA accredited attorney that's helping you with this case, they're at least, I mean, I'd love to know, maybe there is some other route, but to me, I think their only way would to be, you know, to request, make some FOIA requests or request that way, which again, those take time, right? That's not, the government is going to be inundated with these requests, and they're still working through 3M right now. A lot of those 3M cases require FOIAs. So that would be the starting point. Do you represent military families other than Camp Lejeune? Are you VA accredited? Can you tell me anything more about Camp Lejeune other than the boilerplate 1953 to 87? And again, like we've gotten into, who can file claims? What have they service connected, right? Because the biggest thing in these Camp Lejeune cases will come down to the causal link, right? Can we say that this toxic water caused this illness, this medical condition, this harm? And that is how we're going to be able to sort of prove our case, if you will. And obviously damages, we've talked about this before, you're going to have non-economic and economic damages. Those are going to be determined by, okay, do you have a spouse? Do you have minor children? You know, did the person pass away? What was their age at death? What were their medical bills? Did they have any lost wages? What was their pain and suffering? Right? The birth defects. Just imagine for a second all of the different types of claims, right? And I don't say this to try to cloud this issue or make it more complex. Frankly, if somebody has an issue, call me and we'll talk through it. But there's such a variety of claims out there that you really, really want to make sure that you understand, and that the firm that you're looking to hire or the person that has solicited you understands and has a roadmap of where they want to take this. Because, I mean, a million claims, that's staggering. That's the largest mass tort right now that we have in this country is 3M. That's out of Pensacola. I think there are over 300,000 individual filings, because, again, it's not a class action. This is going to be potentially three times the size of that mass tort.
Yeah.
And all of the cases are exclusive to the Eastern District of North Carolina, that federal court.
They're going to be busy.
They're going to be busy.
They are going to be very busy. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the cost for a Camp Lejeune attorney. We're going to talk about the administration steps you need to file a suit. We're going to talk about a lot of the break down some of the serious law parts of this. But I want to ask you this that I don't think we've gotten into, and we're running up against a break. This is like all pro. You're not supposed to start a conversation with only a couple minutes left, but I'm going to do it because we haven't talked about it, Chris, and it's interesting to me. You mentioned it there that you have a couple of clients where their loved one has already passed. How does that work? Like, I hadn't considered that until right now, until you said it, but is that something you're seeing frequently, and is that something that families can be reimbursed for even if their loved one has passed?
Absolutely. So, you know, I'll give you an example. Let's say, you know, your loved one developed Parkinson's. Parkinson's is one of those diseases that, you know, the new bill, or at least some of the previous VA disability, I'm not sure if the VA has service-connected this previously under a claim, but Parkinson's is one of those that they say, okay, that could have been potentially caused by exposure to toxic water at Camp Lejeune. Let's say that someone, a loved one, developed Parkinson's and then, you know, a decade later passed away. That would be a potential claim. And to your point, in most instances, right, Florida's got a 2-year statute of limitation for wrongful death. Well, you know, if that person died in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, all the way to present day, they would be prohibited from filing. But here's the big but: statute of limitation, FERES, which is that doctrine that prohibits you from suing the military for certain things, statute of repose, which is way, now we're getting way too into the weeds, basically is going to prohibit someone from filing even if they come to later learn of it. All of those are suspended under this new law.
Wow.
So if you file your claim within 2 years, none of these will apply. And yeah, we can file a claim on behalf of somebody that has already died. What we do is the estate brings the claim. So just imagine, veterans passed away, their spouse or their children can file a claim on behalf of the estate, right? So we appoint, let's say it's here in Florida, we would open an estate here in Florida. They appoint a personal representative. That personal representative, under the law, has the ability to bring a claim on behalf of the estate. If and when the estate is successful against the U.S. government, the beneficiaries of the estate would then be the ones that receive the proceeds from any Camp Lejeune claim.
Interesting. Okay, it's just one thing that when you said it, it sparked my mind because we hadn't talked about it, and that's a good point because I hadn't really considered that. But when you are going back to the 50s and the 60s and then add in the horrible injuries and diseases that these service members and their families got, then, yeah, I mean, it's not unrealistic to believe that a lot of these people may have passed on. So we still want them to get their justice that they deserve, even though it's way later
right.
in life. So fascinating conversation there. If you missed any of the first half hour we did, Chris's website, brochulaw.com, and his YouTube, Brochu Law. Thanks to Justin. There's a video version of the show, WOKV.com as well. When we come back, if you need a Camp Lejeune attorney, how do you get one? What is the price? What are the administrative things that you need to do to get one? We talk about it all next on 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. The 7 o'clock hour on 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. Thanks for joining us on a Sunday morning, and we are protecting military families with Chris Brochu, the owner of Brochu Law. If you missed any of the first segment, you can go back and listen, WOKV.com, or on Chris's website. After we're done here today, you can find a video version of the show and the audio as well, thanks to Justin at Nova Productions. You find that, brochulaw.com, or on YouTube, just search Brochu Law. And most importantly, if you need Chris's help, you are a military family, you need his help with Camp Lejeune, which is what we're talking about today. If you need his help with anything, 904-201-1771, or you can send him an email, case@brochulaw.com. And even if you don't know if you need his help and you just want him to take a second look, a second opinion, they can do that as well, right, Chris?
Absolutely. Free consultation for any second opinion for military families and consumers. Basically what that means, if you have a question about your military benefits, legal rights, feel free to give us a call. We'll, you know, take a look for you. If we figure out that there's something there, you're leaving a benefit on the table, or maybe you can pursue, you know, one of these predatory lenders that requires allotment or something like that, then we would enter into a fee agreement. Obviously, we do everything for our military families and consumers on a contingent fee basis. No money up front required. Basically, there's no fee unless you win, and we advance all, our firm advance all costs on behalf of military families and consumers.
Absolutely. Again, 904-201-1771 or case@brochulaw.com to get in contact with him. Chris, let's go back in on Camp Lejeune. We are talking about it Once again, multiple episodes on it that you can find on Chris's website. But the bill was signed into law. The bill was passed by Joe Biden. You now have 2 years up until August 10th of 2024 if you think you have a claim for Camp Lejeune and the toxic water. Chris would be the person that can help you with that in terms of an attorney. But Chris, going, if somebody wants to hire you, it's as easy as calling the number or sending you an email, but there's other things that have to be done. So let's just start at the very beginning, which I believe would be the administration steps in kind of doing that. How do they find somebody like you? How does the whole thing start to work when you realize you have a case and you want to hire an attorney?
Exactly. The first thing that I would encourage anyone to do, and this is my call to action, you don't need to call me. You can call any attorney that you know, represents, that's VA accredited, or represents military families. Please, please, please help me spread the word on this. Again, just anyone that you know, and they don't, again, they don't need to call me. If you know of a military family, if you know of anybody that was, you know, Marine, Navy, Coast Guard, there were even some special operations people from different branches that, you know, during 53 to 87 did some training at Camp Lejeune. Please, I need you to help spread the word about this Camp Lejeune. Even if they don't call me, if you know somebody that has a cancer or one of these medical conditions that we're going to list later in the show, please call them. Tell them about what you've read or heard and just let them know. And that way, we, the more that we know, the more that we can basically inform our, you know, military families about, the better off it is. Because, you know, if somebody doesn't live, if you've got a relative that doesn't live in Northeast Florida or doesn't find us on one of the other mediums for, you know, protecting military families, they may not have heard of this, right? If they live in one of the more remote areas of the country where they don't have all this legal advertising and billboards, they may not know of Camp Lejeune. So please spread the word. Help us get that word out there so that these military families can learn about their rights. As far as the administrative step goes, I talked about this in the first part before the break. There are a number of things that we have to do pre-suit to investigate. When I say pre-suit, I'm talking about before we ever file an administrative claim. And that's basically, we're going to, if the person's no longer with us, we need their death certificate. We likely need their DD-214, which would tell us a lot of good info about that veteran. We would need any available medical records. Now, this is kind of the interesting part. There have been fires over the years where there were a ton of personnel records that were lost for certain branches. There are there were specific rules before we had computers where the veteran or the military family got, you know, the only hard copy, right? So the you go to look in the archives or with the VA and they don't have it. The only version was with the military family. So we're going to have to work that up. Once we have the information we need to, you know, properly allege a claim under this Camp Lejeune, this new law, the first thing that we do before we can ever file a lawsuit is we have to file an administrative claim. Now, this is similar to what we do in other cases, right? We file these administrative claims with, you know, other military branches under TSGLI. We file them for VA disability appeals with, you know, BVA or with the VA regional office. So it's going to be similar to that. Or if you've ever sued the federal government for a tort, right? Let's say you were rear-ended by a USPS vehicle. That would be how you have to pursue it before filing a lawsuit. Now, it may change, right? Like in some instances, you're filing a lawsuit against DOD or you know, maybe it's a different federal agency. In these Camp Lejeune claims, we're filing claims, administrative claims, with the Department of the Navy, and they get 6 months from the date, or I say 6 months, it's 180 days, folks. They get 180 days to determine whether or not they either want to pay in full, settle, right? Maybe they've got some sort of counterargument. I don't know if they're going to try to negotiate these, deny, right? Say, hey, we don't think that you have a claim here. Or they can do nothing, right? They could just, I mean, they may have so many of these claims. Maybe that's what they do. And they say, you know what, we're going to let this shake out in federal court. Once that 180 days has gone by, the military family, veteran, you know, child, civilian, spouse, whoever it may be, can then file a lawsuit in federal court. Again, we'll talk about this more. It's an individual action, at least. And again, if you find a firm that's going to do these on a class action, I'd love to hear how they're doing it, because everybody's illnesses and medical conditions are different. And obviously, mm-hmm. one of the main criteria for a class action is you have to have common.
The same, yeah.
Right. You've got to have something in common with all the other class members. So if somebody has leukemia and someone has a birth defect, those are not going to be the same damages, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when we file the lawsuit, the exclusive jurisdiction based off this new law is the Eastern District of North Carolina. Now, the Eastern District is where Camp Lejeune is. When I say the Eastern District, that doesn't mean that's the only court, right? So when we talk about, you know, here's a good example or you know, kind of an example of federal districts. Every federal district has divisions. So if we use Jacksonville, for instance, we're in the Middle District of Florida here, and we have five divisions, right? We've got Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa. We've got Ocala. I'm trying to think where the fifth one is.
Miami?
No, that's Southern District. Well, neither here nor there. I'll think of it off air. But so you file it in whatever jurisdiction you're in, right? So if we had a client that was from Jacksonville and we had a federal court case, our division would be Jacksonville. In the Eastern District of North Carolina, you file that claim. Well, that claim for anybody that's not a resident of North Carolina most likely is going to be divvied up amongst those divisions, right? Those divisions or those communities are going to have their own courts, right? So if you go to one, say, in Jacksonville, you're going to have different judges than you do in Tampa, right? It's going to be similar for Camp Lejeune, and that lawsuit is going to be defended by the federal government. So I don't know if the Eastern District of North Carolina has enough attorneys to defend all of these. My guess is they're going to have to bring in some more attorneys and resources out of D.C. I could be wrong. I don't really know. This is part of this that is sort of still the unknown, because we won't even have, if this bill was signed into law on August 10th, 2022, we won't even know the initial sort of lawsuits and how the court is going to maneuver through these until sometime early next year. Right? I mean, 180 days from now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just something to keep in mind. And again, it's important because we've got to evaluate these claims based off of the illnesses and the time periods and some of the common defenses, right? And we're going to get into this too. I love the calls that I get because the veterans and military families are so in tune with, well, I was living at this part of Camp Lejeune, and I don't think that well site was the same as Had Not Point, right? The interesting part is going to be, what does the military do, or what is their defense to some of these claims?
Interesting. We'll get into that in a second, but you said something there a couple minutes ago that I wrote down because I want to know how you actually go about finding the information. You mentioned, like, there's only one hard copy of some of these military or the health records, or they got lost in a fire or something. Like, what do you do? Like, if there's only one hard copy, are you like digging through boxes with people? Like, what's your strategy there?
I think the difficulty is you need records and information to be able to work up a claim. I mean, usually a DD-214 or something like that will at least tell us where the veteran has been, right? What branch of the military they're in. That's how we sort of prove some of those things. The death certificate might say that the person passed away due to Parkinson's or a certain cancer or certain type of medical condition that is recognized under this bill. Those are some of the ways, if we had very, very limited information, we would try to prove it, right? We'd say, okay, here's a DD-214 that says, okay, from this date to this date, the service member was at Camp Lejeune, right? And here's a death certificate that says, you know, 30 years later, they died of Parkinson's, right? I think that's sort of more of the, some of the more basic way to describe what we're doing. I mean, ideally, what we want to do is show, you know, medical records where this veteran, you know, went to years and years of treatment, and they say, look, there's no way that somebody without some sort of genetic link or somebody with your genetic makeup could have ever developed this illness but for exposure to these types of toxins. I mean, obviously, that's the way that you have more evidence. But the hard part about these cases, and most of the military clients that I represent, it's never, you're always going to have a case where you're missing records. You're always going to have a case where it's not cut and dry. I mean, those are just things that we do as attorneys to navigate the law. And those are always going to be complications. That should not discourage you from filing a claim, though. I mean, that's what you're hiring us for. Let us do the digging. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't worry. If you're like, hey, Chris, I can't find any of these documents. I have no idea how to find this. Call an attorney. Call us. Let us look into it. We'll, you know, do the digging.
Absolutely. And if you want to call 904-201-1771, we invite you to, especially if you think you have a case that Chris can help you with. Let's go back, though, Chris, to, you mentioned it for just a second, the way that the water was received by these people, like well sites and whatnot. We mentioned how many, or we talked in the break, I should say, we mentioned about the number of well sites and how many were actually toxic. Can you kind of go into more detail about that and how some of them were, some of them might not have been?
Right. So the three well sites that they're talking about, I believe there were seven well sites at Camp Lejeune. I don't know if that's changed over the years. And again, if somebody served there that's got more finite information, I'm sure we'll learn more of this in discovery and through other processes, but please, you know, reach out. I'm not pretending to be the, you know, Camp Lejeune base expert here. This is just from publicly available information. Sure. We haven't even gotten into any discovery on this, just from other cases and claims made. Most of that, you know, props to Ed Bell, attorney out of South Carolina. He spearheaded a lot of this and made this happen. So big props to him. From what I've gathered, seven main well sites, three were potentially contaminated: Tarawa Terrace, Holcomb Boulevard, and Hadnot Point. The interesting part is, and this is one of the questions that I received from a military family, well, I know we were living on base housing, you know, this is a massive military installation. I know we were living on base housing here. You know, I don't think that was near those well sites. Good question, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's going to be probably the government's defense is, well, you know, there's no way that this person had that. But hold the phone. I don't think that's the end of the analysis. When I heard that, I said, that's a great point. Is that the only place that they ever went on base? Oh, no, they used to go to the military training facility on this part. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where do they do all the PT and all of the exercise and shooting and any of the training exercises? Oh, they went here. Okay. What about their school? Where'd they go to school? Oh, they're in a classroom setting where they had water fountains and stuff. That's on a different part of the base, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about an isolated incident here where somebody is restricted to, you know, base housing and that's the only water they're consuming. I mean, they could be drinking liters of water every day, you know, out in training exercises or, you know, at another part of the base that they hadn't, you know, realized.
I mean, it's definitely not hard to fathom the idea that somebody would drink more water at a training exercise than they do at home. So, like, if the training exercise has the contaminated water, you know, that's even, in my mind, more important is not the word, but more of a case, I guess, than even at home or at school. Like, I used to go to the water fountain just to get out of class. I'm sure kids were doing that, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, too. So that's a valuable part of it. And how will you, in turn, try, not that you're going to be trying these cases, but how would you go about trying to make that argument?
Well, no, I mean, I am going to be taking these cases. I mean, I'm going to be co-counseling these cases with other firms. And Some of the firms we work with on, you know, for co-counseling, at least on other types of military cases. So absolutely, we're going to be representing clients under these. And to your point, I just realized this when you said it, I don't think between 53 and 87, they had created bottled water. I don't think bottled water was a thing. I'm pretty sure drinking out of a water fountain, if you're at school, was the only way that you got water, right? Yeah. Drinking out of the tap was the only way that you got it. So I'm pretty sure there's not going to be any creative arguments related to, oh, okay, they were drinking Evian, you know,
right,
this
yeah.
this family had their Brita set up.
Right.
You know, I don't think we're going to see any of those arguments. I think it would be more based off of, and again, we'll leave it up to the military. I'm not going to discourage sure. anyone. If you think you have a claim, let's look into it. If we think that you meet our criteria for representation, we'll go ahead and get something on file and let's let the government defend it, right? I mean, this is something that they've, you know, admitted was leaking into the water supply for decades. I mean, there are independent reports that talk about, you know, the dry cleaning facility that's dumping toxins into the local water. You've got underground jet fuel holding tanks that are leaking into the water supply. I mean, the level of toxins in this drinking water,
huge.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy, but at least now you and other attorneys are going to try to find people justice, and hopefully that goes just as well as it can. Let's talk about this before we get out of here, though. 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk protecting military families with Chris Brochu. Let's talk about the pricing in this, Chris. How much will it cost for somebody to have a Camp Lejeune attorney? Obviously, I'm not asking you to speak for other attorneys, but I know what you can do is speak for yourself in terms of the cost that this could eventually cost people down the road.
Absolutely. So one of the main questions that I hear in all the military cases I have is, hey, if I file a claim, am I going to lose my VA disability benefits? Hey, if I file a claim, am I going to lose my retirement? You know, is this going to harm my family? The one thing I will tell you is I don't know of any type of claim, TSGLI or Camp Lejeune or anything like that, that would ever, you know, you'd lose something by filing a claim. I think that the bill, you know, similar to other types, you would have a requirement to pay back, right? If you've had military treatment and you've had TRICARE or you've had the VA footing the bill all these years, you'd have an obligation to, you know, pay them, you know, obviously through subrogation and things like that. Basically, just think you'd have to repay for anything. But again, those are things you can negotiate. The other part is they might do some sort of set off, right? So any of the retirement or VA disability benefits that you receive, there may be some set off, right? But that shouldn't discourage you from filing a claim. That happens in you know, personal injury cases all the time, right? If you get if you have a surgery and then you have PT, OT, imaging, right? All of those things. You can't just stiff your doctors. I mean, we repay them. You know, we negotiate those bills. And then once we get done that and obviously the attorney's fees and costs, then the client's left with the remainder. So I wouldn't discourage it. And again, for my firm, everything we do is contingent. So sure, there are a ton of costs that will go into this. Many of these cases will require experts if we file lawsuits. So basically, again, like we've talked about before, that causal link between toxic water exposure or consumption and the medical condition years later, right? Yeah. And those things are going to most likely, in most cases, have to be proved by a medical expert, right, mm-hmm. through medical opinion. But we're going to advance all of those costs. If that's something we've got to do, the law firm will advance all costs on behalf of military families and consumers. And there's no upfront fee to pursue. Everything we do is on a contingent fee basis, no fee unless you win. And again, we advance all costs on behalf of military families. And importantly, our fee is going to either be based off of the statutory requirement, right? Based on the administrative claim, or if we file a lawsuit, it would have to be basically, either, you know, approved by the court or lawful based off of our federal statute. So that's really how we do it. I mean, there's no, there's really not a whole lot of creativity when it comes with the fee. The fee is the fee, right? It's required under the law most of the time. It's not like we're saying, all right, for this guy, we charge this, and for this person, I mean, it's pretty set.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Well, if you think that Chris can help you, please give him a call, 904-201-1771, or go ahead and send him an email, case@broshoelaw.com, which is spelled phonetically, Chris.
Bravo, Romeo, Oscar, Charlie, Hotel, Umbrella. case@broshoelaw.com.
There you go. Email him or give him a call if you think he can help you, or you just want him to take a look and give you a second opinion. Go back and listen to the show, WOKV.com, or on Chris's website. Thanks to Justin at Nova Productions hooking us up with a video version of the show. We thank you for listening. Once again, we thank you again to the listeners for your help with Carathon on Friday. Shout out to our guy Rich Jones, Aaron Schachter, everybody at the station that made that go on. We thank you for that. We thank you for listening each and every week, protecting military families with Chris Brochu. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Casey.